his mouth, tasting freedom while he does been calling back.
Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, I'm Mo, back on the air and in your ear after a little, I don't know, what the hell would you call that?
And he's still queer.
No, that's not what I would call that.
Oh.
That time that we are away.
Oh. Did you hear what we did to our time slot, didn't we?
No, what?
It moved.
It moved. Yeah, it's what is it, middle of September since we've been around there, two and a half weeks or something like that. But because I remember the last show I wrote down, Building to Battleground. It was like the first Raw Building to Battleground. And here it is tonight. We just finished watching it. But let's save it for the main event. It's not really the big news of the week anyways, to be honest with you. Kind of the big stuff is what's happening over at TNA.
Let's talk about the big news of the week first off, actually, is, and again, I don't know how many times we're going to harp on this, and it's a little bit old because we haven't been on for a couple weeks. It actually probably happened right after our last show, I think that weekend. And you get sick of this, and you're tired of hearing this, and they test for it, but it just another steroid death. You know, and it just how many times do you have to have these until something happens? Angelo Savaldi passed away.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he was 437.
At the age of 99, like how long could he have lived without steroids? This is just, he's not going to get to see his great, 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 great grandchildren grow up. And I, for one, am pissed.
All right. Do you want to just tell everybody who the hell it is?
Actually, he was the oldest professional wrestler. Mm-hmm. He was 99. So they got a video for him, before Raw, mostly because
Vince himself announced on it.
Yeah. And, member of the WWWF, front office, their Capital, sports, even in the 80s, just before Vince Jr. took over, maybe even transitioned into when he did take over right at the beginning there, worked with a long time. I mean, obviously when you say he's 99, I mean, Christ, he's wrestling is spanning decades, right? So, no longer, I wonder, you know who's happy about this? The second oldest living wrestler.
Who's that?
I don't know, but
Undertaker?
Now he's the oldest. Yes. Triple H.
Triple H. you know, the thing about him was he had 99 years, but he won't make 101.
No. He also had 99 bottles of beer on the wall.
So,
99. Lived a great, you know, long life, all kidding aside. So that's it. Also, Frenchie Bernard passed away at the age of 77, best known as Andre the Giant's handler, I guess.
All right, because I'm thinking that's not Frenchie Martin. Frenchie I know.
You know, you've seen pictures of him if you've ever seen any documentary with the black cowboy hat and a big nose took care of the ranch for him and refed a lot.
I actually thought
that
was Triple H.
The
big nose?
No, he had a cowboy hat, though.
Triple H and Jim Ross fucked?
Yes. Yeah, Boomer Sooner.
yes. So anyways, he also passed.
He did, yeah. So
that's too bad.
Yeah, so that's the, you know, the good news.
just wonderful. Thanks for just really getting it out there and starting everybody off on a high note there, Addy.
On a high note. Let's Should we get on a real high note? Can we talk about my new favorite wrestler?
Is it what's his name? Adam English? What is it? Adrian English?
Aiden English.
Adrian English in NXT?
Aiden English. Awesome.
Yes. His gimmick is he comes out and sings show tunes. Awfully.
That's hilarious.
before and after his matches.
But he's a good. He's supposed to sing him awfully. Well, but he's good.
Well, he is good. He's got a powerful voice, but he is a little off key. So it's like the power of his voice, but he's off key. The thing is, they're not short. It's not like he comes out and sings for 20 seconds. He'll go like 3 minutes.
Yeah. Well, you know, a powerful voice and off key. I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, that worked wonders for Celine Dion. So, you know, he might have something here.
He might. Well, he does have something. I mean, it's Alex Riley himself who said, if this guy can rustle a lick, he's my new favorite guy here.
That was awesome. He's my favorite guy.
And it's true. Actually, to tell you the truth, the NXT the last couple weeks has been particularly good. It's funny because I was actually thinking about today how they have guys that need to go up. They have Sami Zayn needs to go up, and Adrian Neville needs to go up. And, you know, they probably have three or four guys, but if they do that, they pretty much ravage the roster, because once those guys go up, the rest are works in progress.
You have to balance it. I mean, I think a lot of their divas can go down.
How's Kelly Kelly doing?
She'll move.
Up and down.
Up and down.
She'll move.
Hey, what'd you think of the Matadors?
Too sports entertainment for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At first I thought when that, what is it, what's his name, El Torito?
El Torito, or Little Torito, or I don't know.
Yeah. At first I thought Russo booked it.
Yeah, yeah. But then he didn't swerve them.
No, then I figured out it was a little bull, and with Russo you got a lot of bull.
That's true. So it's good, but it's good to see. It's good to see Mantar did get laid.
So,
yeah.
I think it's hilarious that this. You know, they don't have a lot of midgets in the WWE, and this is the second El Torito.
Really? Yeah, I guess there was. There was the one.
I believe he became Mini Vader.
Yeah. I don't know. This is it. Like I say, I mean, it's you actually texted me. You're like, they have a mini bull with them. And I just thought you meant like they had like I was thinking it was like some bulldog or something like that. Like I was like, no, it's actually a little mini guy dressed as a bull.
It's a midget dressed as a bull.
And he's and you know what? Before they were when they were Epico and Primo. And their act was Rosa Mendez pretty much got all the attention. And now they're going to be playing second fiddle to a little mini midget bull.
Who
they're probably ecstatic because they're on TV and they're getting wins. But there's no upside to a gimmick like this, honestly. Like it's two sports for me. It's two sports entertainment. This is coming like this debuted right after I'm watching SmackDown, where Great Khali and
Ginger Mahal
have this flute battle over Santino Marella's Cobra sock. And it's like the worst sports entertainment thing ever. And right after that, they cut to an angle with Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton that was supposed to be serious and really make you want to buy the pay-per-view. And I'm going, I don't want to buy it because you just told me how fake all this shit is. Like you just shoved your dick right in my face and whipped it around and said, what do you think?
And, that was a flute.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, you know, I mean, again, other than people who... Like this pay-per-view tonight, other than people who are doing podcasts or blogging or something like that, if they don't have a vested interest, they're probably not ordering this thing at all.
No.
And that type of shit is why.
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially, again, I understand in some instances the need for fluff or filler, but when it's your... Like go home. It wasn't the go home show. I guess it was two to go. But when you're on that road and you don't have any time between pay per views as it is, you know you don't have any. There really is no time to spare for them. They don't have the luxury of, you know, oh, we've got another pay per view next quarter. You know, like a TNA for instance. Yeah. But even they are trying to build to a big.
Oh, we'll get there.
Television program, right?
Yeah.
Each month anyway. But I mean, it's No,
I mean, so you have this horrible, really sports entertainment, really fake-looking thing. And then you come out and, you know, I mean, you have the El Matador. And to me, it just, again, it's just, it is sports entertainment. And it harkens back to the 80s. And even to, it harkens back to the 90s before the Attitude Era. Like, this is, this, it's better done. The production values and the packages, the music, the outfit, like I say, the outfits they're wearing, everything is, it's better done. The production value on this gimmick is great. But at the end of the day, it harkens back to pre-Attitude Era, what wasn't work, and it still doesn't work.
Well, technology is better.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I don't, you know what I mean? But, it's not what, it doesn't remind me of the 80s. It reminds me of, yeah, you're right, of like that 1992 era with the Nasty Boys and the Natural Disasters and, you know, and Rocco with the Legion of Doom type thing, right? Yeah. Like that era is just, and I mean, the Midget Bull is good. You know what
he's
I mean?
A good, like, wrestler. Flipping, yeah, around. That's the real thing. He's a good wrestler, but who gives a shit? It's too sports entertainment. It's not, well, it's, and who are you trying to, who, I mean, he, maybe he'll get over with the kids, but really, I mean, honest to God, and I'm really glad, honest to God, I'm so happy they finally found a role for Sin Cara, but nevertheless, yeah. It's.
And that's just it, is that that's, like, that's your walking papers officially for Sin Cara.
Yeah.
Because now we've got this midget in a bull mask that we can sell the bull mask for $80 a pop. Which?
That's not him?
No, because you know what? That guy, the bull there, he ran. Did you see him do the flip over to the rope?
Oh,
from rope to rope? He didn't blow out his knee, no. Yeah. So,
is Sin Cara actually hurt again? Or, like, because he hasn't been on TV since he did that shit.
Oh, yes,
where he hold his fingers up and went, call the match! I stubbed my toe. I chipped a nail. Call the match with Del Rio. We haven't seen him since then, and I'm like,
yeah.
I didn't know if he was actually hurt from that, or is it just that they're so pissed at him?
I think they're holding him out, holding him off for the second season one, part two of Total Divas, where he's going to be going against JoJo to see who gets in.
Could be.
Jesus.
Yeah. But no, I mean, so it to me, like I say, yeah, it does harken back to that bullshit, the Rocco and stuff like that, like you say. It's
mm-hmm.
Even though John Cena will tell you the crowd is all kids, but if your crowd is actually all kids, this is fine, I suppose. But since your crowd is actually majority still 18 to 34 year old males,
It's not. Well, I mean, it is majority, but your average age is still 38 or something now,
exactly.
Isn't it?
Yeah, like it's even older than that. Like it's like your average age is like 38 or something. So how does this appeal to them? Yeah. I mean, and I guess if it's like, oh, I'll take my kids to this because it's got this, but you know what? No, it's just, it fails to me. The act would have been fine without the bull, but it probably wouldn't have gotten over as big, to be honest.
I was going to say the act is just there to be there. To me, honestly, the act is nothing without the bull, because the bull really is the act, and the bull is what's going to be around in a year from now. Again, selling little bull masks, and he'll run around and be the little mascot backstage and poke divas in the ass, and they go, oh!
Do you think Hornswoggle was when he saw that?
Yeah, no shit, eh? Hornswoggle's playing politics.
Yeah, exactly. Hornswoggle is hoping like hell that Leprechaun is going to be big.
How threatened was Hornswoggle? Mm-hmm. A little.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that they're going to eventually wrestle, but I think it'll be a short fight.
Yeah. What is it? Short arm leg scissors.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Short clotheslines.
Yeah, and a win with a small package.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never trust one, right? Why?
You never know where they've been.
Thank you, Bobby Heenan, for that.
And El Torito's Mexican.
But yeah. So, anyways, it's fine, I suppose. But can you really see this team taking the Shield is a serious team. You picture them taking on the Shield, you know, for the titles? No.
No, I mean, that's just it. Not seriously. And at this point, yeah, exactly. They're like the Bushwhackers at this point.
Yeah, yeah. And you already had Clay and Tenzai, so.
Mm. Well, Tenzai was on the
Egghead
pay-per-view P-anal.
Yeah, the Egghead, as they called him.
Yes, Egghead.
Yeah, because he's bald, but, folks.
Really?
Yeah.
Since when?
at least the late 90s.
That's true. That's true. Oh, fuck. I think,
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Remember, we were excited when he came in.
I know, right? It's like, well, he was in Japan. He did well. He was good.
The vignettes were interesting. And then we saw the actual gimmick and went, ah.
You know what? The vignettes were interesting until, again, I found out who it was.
Yeah.
And then it was like, well, that's dumb. And then I thought he was going to be under a mask, right? And then the day after Raw or day after Mania when he debuts and they just pull off the thing thinking he's going to have like a Quang mask.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, that's Albert.
Yeah.
And everybody fucking knows that's Albert. That's just stupid, like, dumb. You know, I'm trying to think of, because he was around, you know, in their peak.
Yeah. When they're drawing their biggest ratings, he's there.
Yeah. It would be like having a new Mexican guy and saying, oh, we're going to have this new Mexican guy, and he comes out with some big Mexican costume on, takes off the costume, and it's Val Venus.
Yeah.
You know, same thing.
Yeah.
Just was doomed right from the get-go.
Or say you got some Puerto Rican guys, and you kept on saying they're Mexican. At least they have the masks. That's the thing. Yeah. That's the thing. At least the El Torito. At least I believe he is Mexican. So we'll see if that means that the Mexican crowd will actually get behind them, because they're probably not going to get behind Puerto Ricans otherwise. But
I just thought it was great that with the Matadors, and I don't know, I didn't know he had a brother, but just that PJ Walker got a job, and nice also that he's supporting. He's also supporting Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Yeah. I was actually wondering that if their outfits had that pink. Because it should be red. Like, it should be a, you know.
I think they were pink in all the vignettes, though.
Are they always pink, or is that, yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Maybe that's a copyright thing, though.
What?
Just if they were, you know, like, I don't know. Yeah, you're right. They should be red. So, yeah. Because real matadors actually don't wear masks, do they?
I don't know if they do or don't. I don't know.
I don't think so. Well, Tito Santana never wore a mask. That's what I'm basing it on.
I was thinking that actually. I was watching him. I was watching. I think it was NXT, and you know, you talk about the Cobra in that stupid spot with the you know, really fake. Hey, the Cobra's actually being hypnotized by the two people playing the flutes, and then I'm watching him on NXT teaming up with Emma, where he does the comedy, but he doesn't have to go that stupid. I'm like, he's a great comedy wrestler. Like, just when he does things, like goes up to the second ropes and falls and acts like it's such a big deal to get up to the top rope and he kind of slips. I'm like, he's one of the best comedy wrestlers ever.
Oh, he is. He's got great, yeah.
Yeah. So he doesn't need – so let him do that without going to that extra level, because when he's doing that, it's not quite to the level where you can still believe that he could hit somebody. Like, it doesn't expose it as fake. He's just funny.
Yeah.
You know, there's a level where it's just like, okay, that's too far. And they, of course, they don't understand that.
Well, no, but, I mean, they just, yeah, they take a good thing and they just ride it to death.
Yeah.
And that's what they've always done. And that's, you know, they continue that. I mean, and we'll talk about Daniel Bryan and you know, and that in a bit, and just how, again, they ride stuff into the ground until it stops working.
Yeah.
You know, just trying to think, because we'll talk about Daniel Bryan maybe just before the pay-per-view, but and then we got some TNA. But the last WWE news bit that I had, Wade Barrett. Did you hear about Wade Barrett?
He's going to get a push.
He's going to move to Harlem.
What?
Wade Barrett is moving to Harlem.
He's bad, a Bad News Brown gimmick.
Bad News Barrett is what they're going to call him.
Well, no, that's what they're calling him on The JBL and Cole show. I don't think that'll be the actual gimmick by the time he gets there. We'll see. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. When he actually gets to TV. But they are going to push him because they do need stars. And, I mean, if ever it was obvious, when we run down this pay-per-view card, the fact that they had to do filler with some of these people will really prove to you how badly they need stars.
I just hope he uses the ghetto blaster.
Yeah. You know, the funny thing is he just got a new gimmick, or at least a slightly reworked gimmick. They didn't stick with it long. Like, they got a... I don't know. If they just hadn't booked him to lose all the time, and they had...
But
When he came out in the last time, and he was, like, beating up people in those videos, you know, he's beating up people, and he's dressed in jeans or whatever, and muscled and whatever. If he had come out in jeans and that scruffy beard just looking tough... And beat people up like a backstage, like a real underground brawler, and kept winning. That's all they needed to do. They didn't need
to. Oh, that would have worked. Yeah. And he all of a sudden they started talking about his whatever it was, his grandfather or whatever he had, and then you know, and then he got this bull hammer finish. And then it wasn't, you know what, it wasn't a month that he was back wearing the rose with the jacket.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and it was like, what? Oh, okay. So this is, you know, so he's the same again with a different finish now.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, stupid. But yeah, he's as good as a guy.
I mean, I hope
they
keep that bull hammer. That's a great finish.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, you know, it's better than that wasteland or whatever, right?
Yeah, exactly. But, well, it's safer, too. That's a big thing. I mean, it's physical enough, but it's safer in that wasteland because a lot of people seem to get hurt on that one.
Well, yeah, and I mean, and it's a lot like a lot of the other moves that you see, right? It's just that, you know, only it's a throw over as opposed to fall away. And yeah, the Wizard Bullhammer is unique as well, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm trying to think of what else that we had to talk about. In terms of news items, I'm just kind of flipping through here. Oh!
Flipping through your notes.
Ethan!
Uh-huh. Jason Bateman? No, Justin Bateman. What is it? David?
Derek.
Derek Bateman.
Yeah.
From WWE. Former.
Jason Bateman from the Hogan family.
Yes.
See, because Brooke's gone. So they need another member of the
perhaps
Hogan
perhaps so is Hulk.
I hope so.
Derek Bateman is Ethan in TNA. But again, we'll get to TNA.
Yeah. So glad they got rid of, you know, Doc and all these other guys so they could just bring in another WWF retread. Who never made it.
Yeah. Well, you know what? He's at least his gimmick is so different than what he was in WWE. He won't be recognizable. I mean, it's not like Doc. You knew who Doc and Luke Gallows there. You knew who he was right away. You knew who Knox was. Knox.
Yeah,
Right away, right? I mean,
Think Derek Bateman will be recognizable? Like, you don't... Does he wear a mask? Does he cut his hair?
He's got a different gimmick, a totally different gimmick, right? I mean, he's a spoiled rich guy. He's, you know... I mean, it's at least his own and their own thing. We're not like... I mean, there was nothing about... I mean, other than being in Aces and Eights, once they took off the mask, there was nothing about Gallows or Knox that in any way differentiated them from their WWE characters at the end.
True.
So...
Yeah. So, yeah, this should hopefully at least be a totally different character. But
character?
Character.
Character.
So you spell it.
Mm. Well, that's how you go by everything.
Yeah. It's like panel.
P-anal.
P-anal.
Yes. All right. Well, anyway, so let's... Any other news then that you have, though?
No, that's all I had for news bites. Did you have anything else?
No, I am looking forward to they've added onto a Fox affiliate that I have here. They've added a Ring of Honor, so I do have it on my PBR and
Yeah. I told you about that.
Apparently they added it on some ABC station you have or something like that in Seattle, and I have it on some Fox station out of, I don't know, some other place. But,
oh, nice.
Yeah, but after you mentioned it. So, yeah, I mean, we'll start watching that when we get a chance here and talking a little more Ring of Honor and kind of giving them a little more coverage.
Well, I get that same station that that Brian Alvarez does there. Mm-hmm. It's that Homo ABC or whatever it's called, and it's like on at 2:07 in the morning here. So it's yeah.
I got it at 1. It's on at 1 on Saturday night. But
okay, so you're going to give me spoilers then and ruin it for me.
Very likely. Yes. How far ahead of time does Ring of Honor actually
tape?
Yeah.
I think they taped this before Mania. I think this is Ring of Honor from 2011.
You can watch that in the Fight Network if you want.
You can. I'm not even sure. I heard their CEO, Joe Koff, on the... on the internet a couple weeks ago here. Then I mean, I know his
What's
brother,
his name?
Jack.
Oh, Jack. Jack off.
Well, hey, I never put that together. I guess that is his name. That's for people north of Calgary.
Yes.
They like that joke.
Jack off.
Jack Hall.
He'll move.
Well, you'd have to, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Don't piss me off. I'll sit on you. And what are you going to do then?
Hmm? I won't move.
Ever.
Ever. Actually, it was funny. They were making these today when we were moving table. We were getting tables, free tables for our wedding reception. And so we had to go pick them up or whatever and store them and whatnot. So we went to get them and the girls started to make they're making the bridesmaid dresses. Mm-hmm. So, my fiance,
they haven't asked
me
for my size yet.
Well, they showed the dresses and one kind of looked like a bra thing. And I said, does Mo get one of those? They didn't, they weren't committing either way.
Yeah. Well, all right.
Because you know what'll happen if you walk down the aisle. What'll happen to your boobs?
They'll bounce.
They'll move.
They'll move. They'll move. That's funny shit. Anyways, let's
TNA.
TNA.
TNFNA.
Man, where the hell do we start? There's a possibility, all right, let's. Okay, did you watch this? Have you seen TNA the last 2 weeks? Have you seen Impact Wrestling?
I have seen last week, not this week. I haven't seen the. I've been moving and being busy and shit like that. So I haven't seen the Hogan leg hump yet.
Okay, so those of you who are unfamiliar. Basically, I mean, they are, I believe it's August or, yeah, I mean, I think, I believe it's two weeks away. I believe it's October 20th.
Right. Not August.
Yeah. August. Well, it could be when as many people will buy it.
That's true.
I believe it's October 20th that, it might be the 27th. I'm not 100% sure, but I think it's the 20th that,
Bound
now
for
Glory is happening. Let's actually look it up.
I'm halfway there. So,
okay.
Let me just,
so they're building towards their WrestleMania, so to speak. And largely they're doing it with their main event being AJ Styles and Bully Ray for the TNA World Heavyweight Championship. Very little interaction between them. The main storyline is, of course, the now heel Dixie Carter power play owner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she doesn't want AJ Styles, who has his one shot at the title and apparently doesn't in storyline have a contract. In real life, apparently he's extended through to the end of the year, but he doesn't have a contract past that. And you have Hulk Hogan, whose contract has apparently legitimately expired. And we've talked about this before. It legitimately expires every year just before Bound for Glory. That way, the major angle he's in at Bound for Glory, he's being able to to leverage himself into a good deal, into a new deal and at a good term. And this year, they've let it expire, at least so far. They do want him back, but apparently, and of course, keep in mind, we're talking about Hulk Hogan, Eric Bischoff behind the scenes, so the odds of all this being a fucking work.
I respect you, Booker, man.
Yeah, is possible. That said, the final angle was Dixie the week before, last week, telling Hulk, you know, you're either on my side or you're not.
Well, okay.
After she tells AJ, hey, get out of the ring, and he goes, all right.
Fast forward. Let's rewind here. To 3 weeks ago, the angle to end the show was that AJ Styles shoot promo saying, doing the CM Punk thing. My contract is expiring.
Yes.
This place is a fucking joke.
Yeah.
And I'm going to win the title at Bound for Glory. I don't have a contract, you morons. And so then I'm going to win the title, and then I'm going to hold you up for some money. Then, the next week, Hogan comes out and says, this is bullshit. AJ, get down here. Man, you're awesome. I want you to sign a contract. And AJ goes, okay.
Yeah, he does, yeah.
And then the cunt comes down and says, we got to talk to you, Hogan. AJ, get out of the ring. And AJ goes, okay. and off he goes. And that's it. So this is your dark brooding, ride the thick-wheeled motorcycle and have the hood on and be this you know, crow AJ.
Yes.
And then be kind of go halfway to that and show his allegiance to TNA, let's say, as the Aces and Eights thing is falling apart. And now it's just like, what?
Well, that's exactly it. Yeah, Aces and Eights thing. Because Bully Ray has his own separate storyline going on that has nothing to do with AJ Styles. So, I mean, essentially building to your equivalent in their little world main event. This would be like if it was, CM Punk versus The Undertaker, or John Cena versus The Rock at WrestleMania, and they basically had a promo passing each other backstage saying, "Hey, I'm wrestling you, right?" With other storylines going on. Like it's brutal.
This would be like John Cena wrestling The Miz in the main event of WrestleMania, and all the promos being against The Rock. Oh, wait.
At least he's the fucking Rock.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was going to say. I mean, it's a little bit different. Why, you ask? Because it's the fucking Rock.
Exactly.
And he can do whatever he wants.
Exactly.
And it works.
Whereas this is... Yeah, this is really bad. So, so AJ leaves, and then, Dixie here at the end of the show says, so are you on team, sign with me and be on my side and be with, Team Dixie.
Team cunt.
Yeah, and Hogan says, well, that sounds like a great offer for somebody else, but for me, I quit. And he throws down the mic, and he starts to walk out. Dixie runs after him and puts her hands up in front of him, and he kind of goes, get out of the way, Dixie. And he starts to stroll past her, and she gets on the ground. And I could just fucking picture Hunter or Stephanie doing this. Gets on the ground and throws her arms around his leg, and he's walking her. But he's not actually taking a step because
he can't.
Yeah, like if she's holding on to him because she weighs about 104 pounds. So she's holding on to him, and he pulled, his hip would go flying into the third.
Yeah,
row.
Oh, yeah.
So he's just sitting there going, let go, Dixie, let go, brother. You're like, Dixie, come on, dude, you gotta let go. And she's screaming, and then he finally walks away from her, and she goes, well, I never wanted you anyways. And I think Heart Legacy Wrestling here in Calgary would have had more sense than to put on something this shitty.
At least in the main event.
Yes.
Or like the main thing.
I understand that it's apparently, I mean, there's some speculation. Well, this is how Hogan wanted to leave, and Hogan had creative control. And you're going, yes. So Hogan has creative control, but the owner of the company has none?
Well,
there's ways, and if this is how Hulk Hogan wants to leave, once again, I'd just like to say, Hulk Hogan, go fuck yourself.
Well, of course. But I mean, that kind of goes without saying. But I think the thing that protects the cunt that she doesn't really understand, and I'm sure Bret Hart could tell you a little bit about this, is that it isn't creative control. It's in all the legal contracts. It's reasonable
creative
control. Yeah. And so that's the best part, is it? And you know what? To be quite honest, for Hulk Hogan to do it that way, and for what TNA has operated in the last 5 years, that's pretty reasonable to me.
Yeah.
I do notice that there's been a guy in the last couple of weeks getting more and more involved, and you could tell he's getting more and more involved because he's been back there spelling his name.
Double J.
J-E-double-F. And that, to me, signals that Hogan's kind of thing. Now, here's the other part, is that you lose Hogan, Garrett gets a little bit more control. You know, how long does it take for round three?
Russo. Get the fuck out of here.
This company knows nothing. How long does it take for round three of Russo? Wow. I mean,
Dixie was there with Russo before. Obviously, she liked him. I mean, she's still going to be here around. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of speculation again. I mean, they continue to be behind on checks to major stars as well.
You got Magnus against Sting at Bound for Glory. Is this Sting putting over Magnus to walk away and go to WWF?
It certainly looks like he's putting him over, whether it's to walk away or not. Who knows? But it certainly looks like it is. And the same thing, it looks like you're going to have Bobby Roode versus Kurt Angle. Will that be, you know, I mean, who knows what's up with that? I mean, that's the thing. As a card, you also have Mannix versus Chris Sabin versus Jeff Hardy versus Austin Aries in an Ultimate X. Generally, yeah. I'm looking at – you have Ego Kaz and Daniels.
Should win the pre-show match to fight Gunstorm.
Yeah. Gunner and James Storm. And so you look at the card and you're like, it's like on paper, this is a really good card.
Yeah.
Excuse me. The build to it is so bad. Like, you only have four pay-per-views and you have had how many months to build to this? And your momentum in creating these matches and long-term getting to this, it really just feels thrown together and it's disconjointed and like,
yeah, they're about a year on a downward swing momentum wise.
Yeah.
Now,
like, I don't understand how you only have four pay-per-views to build to, and you can't properly build to your WrestleMania, you know, as far as promoting the matches. And I'm not talking about the card. I'm talking about the promotion to do this. So,
but the thing is if when I look at the history of Bound for Glory and it's their WrestleMania, they've never really ever done a good job of promoting to the matches. Other than they had that one Bobby Roode one that one time, and then he lost. But yeah, to me, crazy. When I remember Bound for Glory, or when I
that
think
was
of Bound
Sting
for Glory,
that same year, I believe.
That's the thing is, I think of the stars. The Sting is a special enforcer. Kurt Angle is a special enforcer.
Mick Foley
is
a special enforcer.
Ms. Foley, but they bring in a guy as the quote unquote like their version of a celebrity, a wrestling celebrity, basically, to come in and be the enforcer. And that's really Hogan and Sting. You know, was that special match that they just happened to have because they were both there or whatnot. But that's to me what Bound for Glory always has been, other than they did that, 11-11-11 or 10-10-10. It was 10-10-10, right? You know,
are coming. And that was where Jeff Hardy turned heel and Hogan. Hogan, they tried to form their own little NWO type thing. Yeah, Immortal, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, that was really the only time that I can think of where, they've built to something, paid it off, even though, I mean, didn't go anywhere, but built to something.
I think generally they built, I mean, I can think back for a long time. I think they've generally built, and the buy rates have reflected this. I mean, it is, It is better.
See, I think
than...
the buy rates have reflected the fact that you're going to see Kurt Angle in TNA for the first time. You're going to see Sting for the first time. You're going to see, I guess it wasn't for the first time, but you're going to see Sting and who, like a one match with a big star. You're going to, you know, you're going to see Mick Foley, you know.
But this year they haven't even done that. Like, but I mean, generally, their undercard has made sense leading into the events. You know, generally.
What I'm saying is that what they popped the buy with is with that big star. Yeah. They don't have that, so that's why I don't think this is going to be any more than their normal, whatever, 12, 15,000.
No, I know. I agree. It's not going to be anything. It may do more than Battleground, but I mean, it's...
You think it'll do 9 buys?
Maybe. No, I know what you're saying. Yeah, you're right. It's not going to do much, and they don't have that special match. But so you have the combination of not the special match. You have the combination of that combined with the matches you do have. You haven't promoted and built towards. Like, this should be our climax of your season, and it doesn't feel like that. And it's like I say, it's unbelievable when you only have 4.
Like, but at least they have the Bellator guys.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
No, they don't. Like, everything's just falling apart there. You know, a lot of people – and, you know, I mean – you know, they're going to have Taryn Terrell, for instance, is supposed to face Mickey James for the title there. Well, Mickey James' contract expires. Taryn Terrell gets knocked up. I mean, now you have, ODB versus Tamina, what's her name?
Tata Pele or whatever. Yeah, no, Tamina's, yeah. Tamina's what's her
AJ's,
name?
AJ. AJ's boyfriend.
Yeah.
So, I mean, whatever. It's
Mrs. Spectacular.
Yeah. Yeah, so... But I mean, that's it, though. I mean, like everything's fallen apart on so many levels, from the combination of talent being stupid to just contracts expiring. The fact that all their contracts expire before their biggest show of the year again proves it's not just Hogan's contract. I mean, so many of these contracts are expiring a month out of your biggest show.
Ken Anderson, Mickey James. I mean, like, these are guys that they were doing stuff with, you know? Yeah. And it was just, yeah.
So, and meanwhile, I don't know what happens with Hulk Hogan. Like you say, we don't know if he signed a new contract. We don't know if the whole thing's a work. I don't think the whole thing's a work. I think they're probably working on a new contract. They might already have had it. But I don't know. I don't know how this does anything for TNA or like, how does this create interest? How does this create buys? How, again, you're building around Hulk Hogan. And I understand he's your biggest star, but he's 60-something years old. And
8, I think. He's
younger than
60.
Yeah. He's not.
He'll turn 60 this year for WrestleMania 30. That's what it is.
Yeah, and I mean, he's 60, so you can't wrestle. Yeah, what is the ultimate upside to this? What is the ultimate upside of Hulk Hogan against Dixie Carter leading to? And you're never getting the payoff with Hogan versus Bully Ray.
Like, you're selling.
But no, that they've built up for.
No. But if you're selling, that's
why you have Hogan. Yeah, I know.
That's why you have Hogan. But
they've built up that idea of Hogan versus Ray since for almost a year.
But again, you notice
they're not going to have.
But you notice as soon as Brooke was gone,
that was dead.
That was it. That was the Hogan stopped being involved basically with Bully, and it just became this. Hogan was away for a while, right? Because, I mean, he missed like 3 weeks in a row or something, didn't he?
Yeah,
3 or 4 weeks. And then, then all of a sudden it became it's now this Hogan. I don't know if it's Hogan versus Dixie, but he got involved with Dixie on that, you know, with the leg humping thing.
And again, you didn't see the show, but one of the angles on the show, and I think you will probably get a chance to get around to watch it perhaps.
If Hogan's getting his leg humped,
Angles is you have real estate Steve backstage Sting with Hogan, and they're sitting down saying, you know, Hogan's like, I didn't think anybody could be worse than Eric, dude, but she is, dude, she's worse than Eric, brother, and then somebody guy comes in, right, and he has a box for him, like it's a little blue box, right, and he goes, this is from Dixie. And Hogan's like, what's this, brother? Is it a coffin, brother? Because it looks kind of like the shape of a coffin. And he opens it up, and it's a watch, a really nice, expensive watch that she got to him from Tiffany's. He's like,
oh, you know?
And that's when he actually says it. That's when he goes,
I didn't think anybody could be worse than Eric, brother, but here it is, brother. She's worse than... And I'm like, what the fuck? Is that your service with the company? Here's your watch? Like, but is this worse than Eric? Like, what's the big... I'm like, what's the purpose of any of this? Like, what's the big... angle of her giving you a watch? And then he's wearing it in the ring. It's this horrible thing she gave him. It's so terrible. He's wearing it in the ring.
Jesus.
And she even points to him, like, got you that from Tiffany's. Thanks for wearing it. And I'm like, well, I don't get this. And how is she... We're supposed to... Just because you say she's worse than Eric doesn't mean people will think, oh, fuck, she is worse than Eric. Like,
and how many people watching are like... Eric Young?
Yeah, I know.
She can't catch a fish? Like,
just to get back to it, I mean, I would think the two people that you think, and there is a lot of talk that they want to sell TNA, the Carters, there's no buyer.
No.
And it's, the guy obviously, I mean, Eric Bischoff is the guy who probably wants to get the investors. And purchase it, much like he had the investors for WCW. Because he has a strong relationship with Spike. I mean, I would think, because I don't see Spike wanting to buy them.
You don't, hey?
No, just because why would Spike want to put money in, even for programming, into something that's going to lose that much? There's one thing when they're putting some money in and they're losing a portion. But when they have to cover all the losses, there's no reason for Spike to think they can turn it around. Maybe Spike will think Eric could turn it around, but I doubt it.
Yeah. No, I think
it's Eric himself who would actually is most likely to purchase it.
I think he'd be a partner, but I also think that he waves 83 straight weeks in Spike TV's face, and then they don't know. They're just going to go like, oh, wow, that's impressive. And he's a good talker. You know what I mean? So,
he's slick as hell.
Yeah.
He's a worker.
I see him. I actually do see him maybe being like a partner. And I mean, they own Bellator.
And Glory.
Right? Yeah.
Something called Glory. I think it's a woman's fighter or something.
Oh yeah. It's I don't think it's women. I think that's Invicta. That's the chicks. But
that's another one. Well, either way, I think they have a new promotion as well called Glory. You know what they do have next week? I can't wait for it. Frank Shamrock and Ken Shamrock sitting down together, and it's on after Impact, and talking, working out their problems with each other. I can't wait to watch that.
Really?
Yeah. It's gonna be fucking great.
You know, haven't seen that yet?
What? Haven't seen what?
The Frank and Ken Shamrock thing? You know how the whole problem started? Ken sits down with Frank and says, this whole problem started because I hate bullies. Mm. And you, Frank, are a bully. Mm-hmm. And last week, when you gave me the Stone Cold Stunner, it's because you were a bully.
Yeah. We'll get to bullying later.
It's time to
ride back.
Bully Rye.
But actually the best professional wrestling in the world right now is Wanderlei Silva and Chael Sonnen.
Yes, it is.
But you know, that's old school wrestling. That's just how you do it, right? What happens if Eric gets it? Like, can it be a good thing, or is it just fuck? Like, does anything change?
No. Nothing.
Nothing?
They stay exactly the same.
What if it's somebody else who comes in? Somebody else who's rich and comes in, decides to give it a fresh coat of paint. Can you? I mean, what would you do?
No. There isn't anybody with enough money to have a promotion that knows anything about wrestling. There are plenty of money marks out there, like the Carters, that will just listen again to the slick-talking Eric Bischoff, and you'll have exactly the same thing.
But what about, like I say, what about, like, what would you do? What would you do to give it, if not talking if Eric's there, I mean, if somebody said, oh, we're going to buy it and you're in charge, how would you give it a fresh coat of paint, or can you?
If you're over 40 years old, I cut your fucking heads off.
Yeah, but there's only a couple of those now. I mean, no, they're still in important positions, but...
You know what it is, and again, there's because there's no There's no quick answers to this. The way you do it is, again, to try to make it a little bit of a money-making situation where you go back to the one spot to tape.
Yeah.
You know,
And that's one thing I've actually noticed this about NXT over the last couple months. The crowd is not reacting necessarily the way they want them to, but the crowd is certainly invested in the show now. They're feeling like this is their show because they're taping in the same place there in Folsom University all the time. Yeah. And it's become a positive. Like the crowd to me is now into NXT. And the same thing, I mean, this is maybe they burned out the Impact Zone of that particular crowd after a while. But
no, I think it was shit.
Yeah.
And this crowd saw good. If NXT went to shit, which I don't expect it to, but if it went to shit, then this crowd would turn on it and they'd be piping in crowd noise. That's the difference between WWF and TNA, is the production people. And the fact is that if something happened, even on NXT, that they didn't want to happen. I mean, granted, it's NXT and they really don't care one way or another right now, but if there was something that they really wanted to have happen, they would damn sure make sure that it happened regardless of what the crowd did.
Yeah.
And TNA had this opportunity for years and years and years to do this, and they just chose not to for whatever reason, whether it be just incompetence or ignorance or just not knowing what to do or laziness. I don't know, but they didn't. And I don't, again, see that happening in the future. Unless Big John's going to do it, I don't see this happening. So with them going to, I would go to one thing. I would continue again. You just develop your own people. Like if an old WWF guy becomes available, like a Trent Barretta or even like Chavo is fine as a tag team guy. But you can use these guys. Just because they were in WWF doesn't mean you don't use them. But you don't pay an arm and a leg because they used to be in WWF. I mean, who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
Use your own guys. And there's plenty of guys out there. Again, there's these Joey Ryans and your Matt Morgans and your, all these guys that they've been cutting. Knox and, or not Knox,
Well, again,
Doc.
We look at the guys over the last 2-3 years that have ended up the TNA could have had. That ended up in WWE that are standouts, like the Ambrose and your Seth Rollins and these different guys that they could have had. Adrian Neville,
Daniel Bryan,
Daniel Bryan, Adrian Neville, Sami Zayn there, these guys that are or will be the future WWF guys, or WWE guys that they've never bothered to grab because instead they were paying for Kevin Nash and Booker T and
Scott Steiner.
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing is right now you've got to get a guy in there that can create stars.
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing because nobody's going to go there. Prince Devitt's not going to want to go there. None of these other, the American Wolves or whatever,
yeah.
Davey Richards, none of the Kyle O'Reilly, none of these Adam Cole. No one's going to want to go there if they can get into WWF. And WWF's been showing that they're more than willing to take these type of guys.
Yeah, when the WWF takes a guy like Samurai Del Sol, that means that they're willing. They've really opened up their eyes into looking into different type of talent, and you're sitting there and you're going, this is the guy that should have been in the X division, should have been a star there again.
Yeah.
And also there is the perception that if they go there, they can't get. It's not like they're going to leave and get to the WWF afterwards, because there's CM Punk, but he was in TNA for a cup of coffee. It doesn't really count.
The weekly pay per views, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
like. I mean, guys don't go from TNA to WWF or WWE. I keep on calling it WWF because I remember when it was good. But to the WWE. So, I mean, that's another problem. But you're right. I mean, somebody comes in, obviously. I mean, would we be better off if they went out of business and a new promotion opened up under Eric and Spike with a different name and a fresh start? I actually think so, because I think there's a
– maybe.
Well, you could say, hey, let's build upon 10 years or, and our library tape and this and that. The truth is there's a negative connotation to TNA and Impact Wrestling and they'd be better off with a fresh start. You do need a second promotion. You just
taint
gotta have it.
Taint NA.
Taint NA. I love that. That's what we're calling them from now on. They have a new nickname, Taint NA, led by Dixie Carter, who
the cunt.
Exactly. She grabbed onto Hulk Hogan's leg and she couldn't let go. And
she just couldn't.
You keep on calling her that, and you have forever.
I believe it started when she let Jeff Hardy go into the ring to defend his title. Fucked up.
Actually, I think you're right. I think that's where, you had a major rant against that.
It was well-deserved.
Well, yeah, it was, yeah. But I look at her, and it's like, I've said this before. I don't think of her as that. She's somebody of average intelligence who's really, really naive because she's really, really nice, and she would never take advantage of anybody because she never had to because she was already rich and had everything.
Yeah.
Who's had people who, if these people were sitting there and gave a shit about wrestling, they would have said, let's build this as something strong because that way I can still make money, plus the industry is going to be good, and let's not take advantage of her. Instead going, let's take advantage of her because she doesn't know any better, and there'll always be another one. And the problem is we're at the point where there necessarily won't always be another one.
Yeah.
Because WWE is so big, nobody wants to compete with them. So a lot of people have used her. And she has done a lot for wrestling. She's put a lot of money in. She's put a lot of time in. She just doesn't know what she's doing. But that's not her fault, because if you were to take somebody who doesn't know anything about wrestling, right, and say, well, hey, this is the guy over here that wrote for that company when they were number one, for the biggest company in the world. And this guy over here, he ran the organization that was number one for almost for 83 weeks. And this guy over here has drawn this much, and he's had that many world titles. Who else would she trust? I mean, she's not going to – if somebody says to her – and then there's this guy over here. He ran a company called ROH for a couple of years and won the Wrestling Observer Booker of the Year Award and drew 500 people a night, and his name's Gabe Sapolsky. Who's she going to go to? And you can't blame her for that.
No.
She trusted the people that is most logical to trust. Unfortunately, those people are scumbags, and that's the problem.
Well, yeah, and it's – I just think – Gabe is actually, now you say that, Gabe Sapolsky is probably a perfect guy to give it a go.
Well, he is. He has been for a long time, though. Scott DeMore and Gabe Sapolsky. But that's exactly it, though. I mean, when we sit here and we talk about it, how can you blame somebody for being naive? Like, it's not her fault that she believed in the people that had the best reputation. And those people with the best reputation are more likely to look out for themselves than look out for the industry that they made a living on and they should love and that they should want to pass on to the next generation. And they don't. And unfortunately, whether that's a wrestling thing or that's just this generation of wrestling or just these people, I don't know. But that's what's happened.
Yeah. And and that is what happened. And I do think that but
again,
at the same time,
when you sit here and you call her that, she's not the brightest and she's naive because she's had an easy life. But you know what? It's
not her
fault. She's done a lot. Who else has put that much money and that much time into wrestling when they're losing and losing and losing and kept trying?
Oh, Ted Turner, Vince McMahon.
No,
Jim Crockett.
Vince has Watts. No. Please.
Stu Hart. I mean,
please. The only guy who is a legitimate there, you could say, is Ted Turner. But to tell you the truth, Ted Turner made a lot of money off wrestling. So, no.
Nah, he didn't make a lot of money off
wrestling. Yes, he did.
How did he make a lot of money
off wrestling? It built his network. Even without the ratings, it created
indirectly, okay, you could say that he did that. But, I mean, the thing is, and we're talking money, but we're talking millions of dollars. But if you go back...
Talk about Jim Crockett. They were fucking... guys like Crockett, they were old school promoters who were part of a monopoly in the NWA. They were, yes, you had your own booking territory, but the truth is that these people and most of these people were grandfathered into these positions from a long term. That's not the same thing as what these people have done, what Dixie Carter's done right now. Nobody else has stepped up over the last 10, 12 years. In fact, nobody I don't know ever, but certainly right now when it's this hard to compete with the one brand that's out there. Nobody else has stepped up and said, I'm willing to try. No. I'm willing to try at this level.
Jack's brother did, I think, is another.
Jack Hoff?
You know, to a little bit of a lesser degree. The Sinclair Broadcasting has
They did it because they're looking for programming. They didn't think because they wanted to compete with WWE or even TNA. They haven't made that effort.
And TNA's made that effort?
TNA made the effort to compete.
I guess the last couple of years they made an effort.
They Monday Night Raws head to head. It was stupid, but that they fucking tried.
Yeah.
They have lost so much money. You sit there. Let's not shit on the Carters too much. Yes, they don't know what they're doing, but they have. It's not like they haven't tried. It's not for lack of effort or lack of funds.
Oh no, you can do an effort all you want. I mean, I've never played cricket a day in my life, and I could just try my damnedest, but I'll be the world's shittiest cricket player, and that doesn't mean. And so, if I'm in the second biggest team in the cricket league, and I'm set to fucking be their whatever cleanup hitter top guy,
then
I expect the fans to shit on me, absolutely. And that's the position that the Carters are in.
It's different. They've put their own.
It's money. Not. Ah.
You're playing cricket. Somebody is still paying you to do it. This is them putting their own money out. I know they've made mistakes. I'm not going to say that they haven't made mistakes. I'm not going to say bringing Russo in isn't a mistake. I'm not going to say Hogan and Bischoff and all the moves that they've done and when they brought in the Nasty Boys and fucking Jimmy Hart and Hall and Nash for that last run and X-Pac and fucking Val Venus. I'm not going to say that they didn't fuck up a lot of stuff over the time and Bischoff was there that long. They fucked up everything. I'm not going to say that they haven't. But like I say, what else were they supposed to do? They looked at it and went, huh.
Not fuck up?
They looked at it and went, huh. Hey, man, we have a chance to work with the most successful people in this industry that don't work for WWE. Of course you're going to do it.
Yeah, well, I
those
I
are the wrong people. But how
I know,
they're
how
the
would
most
they...
successful, you know.
I understand that. And that's it, is that they've been – they're money marks.
They are money marks.
And it's the time when
the industry – there's always been money marks. But it's a time when the industry couldn't have that last money mark taken advantage of like this because you don't know how long it's going to be before somebody ever really steps up again because we're never in a situation like this before, like where there's the one company that is this big with nobody competing. And the fact that they've taken advantage of this person to pay their own bills one last time instead of looked out for this industry really speaks to who Nash is, who –
Well, that's the thing to me is that I don't know that it's even –
Bischoff is, who Russo is.
If it's even one last time, to me, we're probably looking at about three last times. I mean, and how many times has Hogan had his contract renewed? We talked about how his contract immediately comes up before Bound for Glory, and he puts himself in the main angle and has to, you know, the immortal angle and the Sting match.
He's more worried about himself than he is about the industry that made him all this money over the years.
Of course. Well, I mean, and again, you talk about people have their own personal situations, and yes, I mean, Hogan is the bullshit of the week, and the fact is his son's a fuck and paralyzed John Graziano, and Hogan still has to pay for that.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're dead broke, I mean, again, when you're dead broke, you're just looking out for number one. It doesn't matter to Hulk Hogan if wrestling is good or TNA is good. Is he getting enough money to, you know, to live his Hulk Hogan celebrity lifestyle and pay this lawsuit? That's all he cares about.
Yeah, I know.
And I really don't blame him. I mean,
because he's sitting there. If TNA was actually doing
–
if TNA is doing a 1.8 and drawing 2,000 people to his building on house shows and selling more merchandise – If there's a larger pie, you get a portion of, but you get a smaller portion, but of a larger pie, you're making the same amount of money, and you're building something for the future, and that's what he should have done
for more work, and it's a situation where if Hogan can come in, get some guaranteed money from a money mark, if he can come in, get some guaranteed money from a money mark,
What about all the other fucks?
Well, they're all the same, though. That's the thing. All those guys, you talk about Kevin Nash, and I mean, these are the guys that killed WCW, right? I mean, the Vince Russos and the Eric Bischoffs and the Hulk Hogan. Well, they didn't need to. they didn't need to, because all of these people that right. quote unquote killed WCW.
It's Dixie Carter who needed to, but she did, well, and it's hard.
But all the people that killed WCW found work. I mean, all of them but Russo, and hell, they hired Russo for like 2 days or a day back to come be a writer again. All of the every single person that killed WCW got hired with WWF. Nash
the only
did.
Thing I will blame
Bischoff did, Steiner did, Hogan did. I mean, it's Russo did. It didn't last a cup of coffee, but Russo got hired back. And it's like we saw them all on the videos, on these DVDs, these NWO and all these. So I mean, for them personally, they know the game. They all got paid.
Yeah.
What do they care if AJ Styles or Abyss has a job? They get paid.
Yeah.
And they'll continue to get paid.
Well, you know what?
They'll be the ones at the conventions, right?
Yeah.
Who's making $2,000 at the convention? Kevin Nash or AJ Styles? I mean, come on.
Yeah, I know.
You know? And so that's just the way it is. So they're all blood-sucking leeches. And you're right. The buck is supposed to. I mean, that's why WWF is the only one standing. Is because the buck stopped with Vince. And Vince has a bigger ego than any of those guys we just mentioned. And has no who he is who he is, and he knows who he is, and he knows what he does, and he knows that you know what you can leave, and I'll make somebody else. Mm-hmm. They don't. There hasn't been another promoter that knows that.
You know what? That's true, and that is an important thing. And Dixie really didn't know that. She thought that she couldn't lose a Hulk Hogan. She thought for a long time she couldn't lose a Steiner. She didn't know she could have made her own, try to make her own Steiner. She never got that. You're right.
No.
If the one thing I'll blame her for is that when Cornette was there at the same time as Russo, that she couldn't look at those two and go, this is the man who should run a company. This man, it makes more sense. That she couldn't tell the difference. That's the one where I went.
See, and where I'll disagree with you there is because if you get into a heated Stark Raven Mad discussion with Jim Cornette, you're not going to be the guy that says, wow, this guy really knows what
that's
he's talking
true.
About.
Because
he doesn't know how to present himself.
No, he doesn't.
He's red in the face and screaming like a madman and going, look, you fucking idiot. This is the way it has to be done. And he looked at Dixie and go, what are you, a cunt? You got to believe me. And, like, literally, I'm not even...
I know. And then you got Russo. Then you got Russo, if I could be honest with you, calmly saying this shit. And of course she is. And it's too bad.
And that's,
that's the one where her own inability to see...
Well, it's not her own inability to see. It's how it's presented. And that to me is the downfall of Jim Cornette.
Yeah.
Is his unfiltered passion.
Yes.
Let's put it that way. He doesn't know how to do it. And you talk about Russo doing it. That's the same with Eric Bischoff, Slick Rick talking to Spike, right? I mean, it's not necessarily the message. It's a lot of times how it's presented. And I think that's what the people that, you know, all these guys we just talked about, maybe not Steiner, but all the guys, you know, that we talked about taking advantage of the business are all what? Smooth talkers.
Yeah.
Kevin Nash, Hulk Hogan, you know, Eric Bischoff, they're, you know. So,
Kurt Angle. Scott Steiner doesn't qualify in that category.
No.
Really?
Well, ever since he called Dixie a half-breed.
Half free. All right, let's talk about this fucking pay per view. What do you think?
Let's go to main event to the pay per view. I'd like to talk about. Let's talk about all but 2 minutes of the pay per view. Of course, we got the.
You mean we're not going to talk about the time when I think it was 3 minutes the power went out for.
Was it 3 minutes in the building in Buffalo?
Yeah.
Jesus.
But at least they won't have to have another pay-per-view on Tuesday and have a strap match again.
A Caribbean strap match?
That's a reference that I hope some of you get. If not, I'm not going to bother filling you in.
Jesus. Should we start at the main event?
No, let's start at the beginning.
All right.
Let's leave the main event for the main event, and then we'll...
Yeah.
So for those of you who didn't watch the show, which is pretty much everybody, good for you. A little pat on the back. Yes. Congratulations for saving money on a shitty, shitty show.
On a show with no resolution.
Yeah.
Yes, you know you bitched about the dusty finish.
Yeah, that would have been good. That's compared to what we got here.
Well, yeah.
At least you felt good for a little while there.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, let's open up. They had a pre-show match, decent enough. Ziggler wins clean.
Yeah.
Anything else to add?
No. But then the little midget came out and tried to hump Renee Young.
Yeah. Yep.
So that was good. I noticed
on SmackDown when I was watching, and she's in the tight dress, because everybody else talks how pretty she is, but it was the first time ever. No tits at all.
No?
No, built like a 13-year-old boy.
Huh. Yeah. So you're even more turned on.
Maybe.
What does Mo and Jerry Sandusky have in common?
And Jerry Lawler? Wait, no, boy.
What?
Fuck you. And
what does Mel Phillips have in common? Yeah. And did you see who the greatest power couple in WWE history was from this poll?
No.
It was you had Randy Savage.
Randy Savage and Elizabeth is what I was going to say.
Edge and Lita, Triple H and Stephanie.
Edge and Lita, and really?
Edge and Lita won.
That is awesome.
I know, right?
Shouldn't it have been Edge and Vicky?
I know, right? Shouldn't it have been Beth Phoenix and Santino?
The Glamazon?
Glamorella?
Glamorella, that was it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great. Oh, Beth.
Then we had
girlfriend.
Girlfriend. Then we opened up the pay-per-view with Alberto Del Rio and Rob Van Dam in the hardcore match.
Here's another one. We don't know still if Van Dam, this might have been his last shot.
Yeah.
It really comes across this way because the heel wins clean with his finish.
And he missed the Van Terminator.
Yeah. Which had kind of been in the build, what little there was, had kind of been what they had been building up, the Van Terminator. So, yeah, I mean,
Well, he did it after the match at Night of Champions.
Yeah,
getting his heat back, right?
That's right, yeah. And I mean, they kind of built it up on, because on SmackDown he did it to, I can't remember who he did it to, but, you know, he gave him with the garbage can. I mean, basically what you had here, you had the hardcore items to kind of, I mean, that was to distract the actual match and what Van Dam could and couldn't do. And Van Dam, of course, took a couple sick bumps. Another reason to think that he's going away for a while. Will he be back? Probably. Probably, you know, but
yeah.
Yeah, but it looks very much like, I mean, clean win by Del Rio. Del Rio's work has been really, really good the last few months. Like, I mean, he's probably the most underrated worker right now in the WWE, I believe.
I think so.
Like, he's had a series of and this is not a bad match. But yeah, I mean, just strange to see, you know, I mean, and I don't know what this means for, Ricardo, Ray wants to come back at the end of October here is the word.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's it.
I thought, Bird was the word. Bird is the word.
Bird is the word.
Of course they did that Rodriguez, tease.
Yeah.
That he was going to get back together and didn't, so that
he
was
didn't, and then he hit him with the pail.
Yeah.
I think he hit him like 2-3 times. The pail in this match. So anyways.
Yeah. But and it's why I was he hit him with Sheamus?
The pail. I wonder how long before he's out. He's still looking at it a long time, isn't he?
I think, yeah, did he break his leg or the ankle or something? So
I don't know.
I think he's probably a rumble.
Yeah.
He's probably a rumble return. Who's another guy kind of in the fold. You know what? If they build him up properly and they build up Bad News Barrett, you know, again, that could be because it'd be long enough.
I was saying, I think I think Barrett needs to be a baby face at this point. So, you know, I really do think so right now. So, and then they kind of let you know that after the match that Sandow not really going to cash it in because his knee was screwed up from his loss to Ziggler screwed up his knee. So they had that. Then you have we go back Coulter's backstage. And typical Coulter kind of, you know, we're there in Buffalo, so too many Canadians sneaking across the border, you know?
Sneaking across our border.
This match had, I mean, there's one thing in this match that made it worth seeing. It was cool. It's not the coolest giant swing you're ever going to see, but the giant swing about 10 rotations that Cesaro does on Kali. And from the giant swing to Kali falling... and then he pins him. It's now his finisher, which makes sense on Kali at least, because I wouldn't want to see him try and stand up and walk dizzy. Some of the crowd popped for that. Another clean win for a heel with a really fantastic looking finish. So what's the point of this?
When does he turn babyface?
Or do they both? Or do they not? Or do they? I don't know what any of this is doing.
To me, it's an easy Cesaro's not actually American. So, you know, Coulter can keep going with it in the ring and talk about, you know, all he has to do is go, take my friend Antonio Cesaro here, for instance. He's not American, but he realizes that the Swiss people, you know, they're not as good as Americans. So he's come over and joined the real Americans here, and he can kind of get that that Cesaro looking at him sideways like a dog, and you know, kind of building that for a couple of weeks before he finally snaps, right? No, that's you know what happens when we do that? You know what happens to my bowels?
No,
they move.
I didn't see that comment. That was what was funny about it.
They move. But yeah, I think that's what you could do. Because I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer. If you know, I mean, he's done it to Brodus. He's done it to Kali. I mean, again, we keep talking about him being able to do the neutralizer on people like the Big Show.
Yeah, he hasn't done that in a while now either, and he's still got that great move.
And the uppercut,
suplex off the second row. Like, he's got so many baby face incredible moves. The superplex from outside the ring to inside. No, he's gonna be at some point. Just a matter of when. But the thing is, both he and outside of the Shield, probably over the last 6 weeks, I think he and. And Swagger, they've both been getting wins, and they're probably actually the most solidly, consistently booked team. Like they've been getting a lot of wins.
Did they lose to the Matadors?
No.
Who did the Matadors beat?
MB.
So 3MB. That's right, 3MB twice.
No, they're winning. They're beating everybody actually. Last little while. So
yeah, prime time players.
I think I've seen them beat the Usos. I've seen, you know, like they're, you know.
Yeah.
And the Usos are number one contenders right now, but yeah.
That's right.
You know, Tenzai and Sweet Tea.
Brodus. Yeah.
Or Sweet Tea and Clay. Like they're beating all these guys, so. But yeah, I mean, it was impressive to see. It was not easy. It took him a little bit to really get the swing momentum going around. He kind of stumbled a little bit because just, you know, but he got it. It was 10 rotations.
What did they say, 11 reps? 10, yeah.
I think it was 10, so.
Okay.
But
yeah.
So I expect the rematch on Raw tomorrow so that they'll actually have people see this.
Yeah, exactly. So
then again, they did it with main event with him doing it to Clay, and I don't think, three people saw that?
So they can do that first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we cut to, you know.
Curtis and R-Truth, right?
Yeah, what do you think?
It was there.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was bad.
There's nothing wrong with it, but it's certainly, I mean, it's like, what did it go? Less than 10 minutes. Less than 8, probably?
Yeah, and I mean, R-Truth tried. I mean, R-Truth was kind of That's probably one of the best. I mean, I would say it's probably one of the best R-Truth matches I've seen in a long time. But that said, I can't remember really the last R-Truth match that I saw. So that wasn't him losing to Brody or Bray Wyatt or something like that. So it's fine.
Yeah, I know it's another clean win for the heel. Our third clean win for the heel in the row. And JBL said nice job or solid win or something like that, like after the match and that probably sums it up. It's like solid.
It was a nice job.
Yeah. Yeah.
R-Truth did a nice job.
So then the Bellas came out. AJ came out with Tamina.
Which I kind of like, actually. I like that pairing.
I don't mind that pairing, but it's pretty obvious I'm watching this match. Like, the crowd has no idea what to do with the Bellas. Like, they have no idea how to take them. And it's because, what do you think? If there's 1.2 million people watching WWE Total Divas, then maybe of that 300,000 are watching Raw and SmackDown? 400,000?
Yeah.
So, small percentage of your audience knows why she's a babyface and gets her and Daniel Bryan and kind of understands that. And they haven't done a lot with it. They've done a little bit. They've done a little last couple of weeks with Randy Orton, coming up. But they never explained it. It just happened. Like, it's just all of a sudden they talked about it like we all knew. Like, there was
exactly.
So the crowd doesn't know. And they've been heels for so long, and bitches. The crowd is pretty obvious. They don't know how to take Brie. And then I think they wanted to cheer for AJ over Brie, but they know Brie sort of with Daniel Bryan. And so the crowd's just acting. The crowd is could not give a shit. I mean, it doesn't help that it's Divas anyways. But
they didn't know exactly.
No.
Yeah,
so anyways, Tamina beat up Brie or Nikki. And AJ rolled her up from that. And,
Yeah.
This was probably went about as long as it's probably about as long as both the Axel Truth match and the
Kali.
That first match, RVD match, was what, about 15 minutes?
I think so, yeah.
The rest are probably about 7-8 minutes, 6-7-8 minutes for the rest of the match.
I think so. I think, Punk so far. That's right, yeah. Then we got to one of the main matches that they've been building was the Cody and Goldust against the Shield.
They have a video package, obviously.
Deal of it.
Yeah. I mean, they have Renee Young interviews, and I got a lot to say about this. The Renee Young interview with Cody and Dusty and Goldust. Because in this interview, and again, they script this for Cody. And Cody says that he's lucky if he has half the charisma of Dusty and half the in-ring ability of Goldust, which is bullshit.
And he got the work ethic from his mom.
Yes, because she's a Cuban. His Cuban mother gives him the energy. But I guess they're trying to finally make Cody humble, but you fucking idiots. Like, how the fuck does somebody telling you, oh, by the way, I'm not as good as this guy or this guy. The guy who's really, really old and the guy who's too old to be a regular. I'm not as good as them, but hey, cheer for me. Like, how the fuck does that do anything for him? You fucking idiot script writers. Like,
I wish at least they'd said who his mom was, because then at least some longtime fans would be able to know, right? Because he said that he got his work ethic from his mom, who's Cuban. And then he could have had his mom walk on to the screen saying, "My name is Ricardo Alejandro Estrada."
I wish.
Armando Alejandro Estrada.
I don't know that they don't understand. Like I say, it's one thing to look humble. But if they had said, if Goldust... If he had said, if he had started to say something like I look up to, I believe I can be, I want to be as charismatic as my dad. I want to be as great in the ring as my brother. And then his brother and his dad say, you know what? You're already more charismatic than me. You're already better in the ring than me. You're going to be the best of all of us. And he goes, you know what, guys, I appreciate it. I don't know if it's true yet, but I'm going to do my damnedest for it. That's the promo, because it plays out to the legacy of the family, but also makes him look like a star, which is the whole fucking point of this. When you look at how nobody gets over, this is the type of fuck. And I know, like I say, they're trying to make him humble, but there's a way to make him humble while having the other guy say it and him going, "Oh, shucks."
Well, the thing is, did they have anywhere else to go with it? Because if you remember on the go-home show, The Shield, they were very blatantly working over Cody's back.
Yeah.
Right? So if they broke his back, that would make him humble.
And Goldust would fuck his ass.
See? If you will.
Excellent, Marty. I had to tell everybody, I showed everybody at work that video. Jannetty telling the Iron Sheik story. Excellent, Marty.
He doesn't know how to work.
I say, Marty, no offense, Marty, but Marty, fuck Marty.
This is what they said, Marty. No offense, Marty.
But I said, fuck Marty.
Oh, go on YouTube, how to just work.
Type in Marty Jannetty Iron Sheik story. Laugh ass off, folks.
It's hilarious.
It's so great. But anyways, no questions. The crowd was into Dusty. And through that, into his sons. Like, it did carry over. They did get the rub.
Yeah, they did. They did. And I mean, Ambrose took a bionic elbow.
Huge. And usually I would be complaining about this, because I'd be like, oh, you're selling for a 68-year-old guy or 67 or whatever he is. But it was okay here. It worked here, yeah.
Yeah, and it's, again, because he's beaten up already. But then you had, the mid-card, like the Usos and the primetime players and Zack Ryder. And as well as you had, IRS, Arn Anderson, and Fit Finlay all come out and congratulate them.
Yeah, Dean Malenko was out there. It was a good match. It was because... It was WWE, get the heat on the one baby face, sell, hot tag, win. Like, it was that WWE storyline, but it was well told. It was a simple, very good match. The crowd was into it. And like I say, they tried to make it a big deal when they had the wrestlers and the agents and stuff like that come onto the stage. I'm not sure really to go with it, but I liked it. It was solid. Highlight of the show so far. I mean, previous to this, the highlight was probably, you know, like I say, the giant swing was great. Everything else sucked in that match. And then probably the Sandow. I mean, the Sandow Ziggler match is okay. I mean, the opening match is okay. But, you know, yeah, I mean, I think this is the best match so far.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I think this might have been the best match of the night.
Yeah. Yeah, I would definitely say it was.
Yeah.
I would definitely say it was, yeah. No question.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, no question.
What is it? Like, is it 3.5 stars?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. 3.5. not 3.75. Yeah. I know. Well, I mean, and again, well, we'll get to the main event, but, you know, the finish killed it.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, that's true.
You know, we'll get there. But Ben Maddox was, I guess, being yelled at on the phone by Hunter and Stephanie. They weren't there. Was the story that
makes
Stephanie
fucking sense.
Yeah, I know, right? Why would they be there at a pay per view?
Yeah.
The McMahons had to leave.
Vicky told them that they left.
Yeah. The McMahons had to leave and left Brad Maddox in charge.
Yeah, exactly. And Vicky refused to help them because she's a heel. Anyways,
but she's more of a face than he is. At this point.
Oh, I suppose.
It's weird. I mean, I don't know.
So anyways.
But yeah. Then Bray Wyatt beats Kofi.
Yeah. Basically, what the normal stuff that you expect with Wyatt. The crowd pops for his entrance. Don't react at all during his match. The match is slow-paced. But it's him beating down Kofi until Kofi makes a hot comeback
Sister Abigail.
Exactly. Kofi screws up with the, you know, he wants to do a, does the, blah, 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 Like, he hit like a cross body. He wanted to follow up with the SOS. He missed right into the Sister Abigail for the pin. Bray, you know, then brings in his cronies, Harper and Rowan. And, you know, they hit their moves on him. Bray takes the mic, and then the crowd's reacting again, finally. Like, what they're, like, they react to the entrance. They don't do anything during the in-ring stuff. And then they're reacting to the promo again. Because that's the best part of Zach's.
Well, it's, I was going to say, it's the entrance, dead. They react for Sister Abigail. Yeah. And then and they react for, yeah, the promo afterwards. And that's it, you know?
Is this good or bad? Like, they are reacting to the promo, but on the other hand, if they're just waiting to the promo, I mean, and we've said this before, this is the best part of his act. He's a great promo. I mean, it's head-to-head. Like, I'm looking at the three best promos of the year for, as we're in October here, a couple months away from deciding our year-end awards, and promo of the year is, like, him and Punk and Heyman running head-to-head to see who wins it, and maybe Christopher Daniels over in TNA get, you know, bring up the rear.
Or Dixie.
Well, no, maybe Bully Ray would be their second best guy.
Yeah, so, yeah.
So the, but those are kind of the guys.
I really think, they noted during the Bray Wyatt match that Triple H and Stephanie left for an emergency meeting. It was on the, that was the commentary too, so they kind of followed up.
Yeah. Well, whatever.
On it.
I didn't even catch that. So, but anyways, again, is it good that they're reacting to the promo and the like, or is this working or not? Then,
you
condition them to believe this is the best part of the act, the entrance what? and the
yeah.
and the promo, but it is the best part of the act.
What he needs is he just needs more signature spots.
Yeah,
he's got the upside down head thing, and he's got Sister Abigail, and he needs more signature spots for the crowd to pop to. He's going to be that guy, at least right now. That, I mean, a lot like The Rock. When The Rock first started as The Rock, he had a couple signature spots, not a great worker, a couple signature spots, and a promo, was The Rock. And that would get over because he's got to be able to for people to react to him in the ring,
yeah,
as well as before and after. So that's when again, it's just doesn't need to be, you know, Benoit or Eddie or Malenko or any of these guys, but just needs to be like the Godfather, even, you know, where he had a couple spots. You know, it's just a matter of
The Undertaker only had a couple spots.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
Yeah.
Most
guys.
It took him a long time before he could actually work, right?
But as I say that's where you could go. He could either be a guy like Rock or Austin, or he could end up like a Godfather. You know, it's right now the bubble is still on him.
Yeah. Anyways, this is where they showed us again the giant swing on Khali. Really quickly, I guess, Mickey, you're right. That is leading to them turning him just because they decided to do it again. So, So CM Punk versus Ryback. Is this? I don't know if you could. It's exactly what I expected.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, there was no.
You knew they couldn't go too short. You knew it wasn't going to be great. But there's enough.
It was 15 minutes.
Yeah. There's enough heat around Heyman and Punk and enough things to distract you from Ryback's, you know, kind of limitations that it was decent enough, like, you know, not terrible, just not great. I mean, it's the worst, I guess it's probably the worst CM Punk match on pay-per-view, or actually maybe it's the worst CM Punk match in general for a long time,
I mean, he fought Heyman in the last...
But Curtis Axel was there too.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, but I don't know. I look at it
Punk
like
got the clean win for your second your second babyface win of the night.
Was it second? You had
Bray won.
Well, he's a
Goldust.
Heel.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Goldust and Cody one. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I think there it's you your go. Second one. I mean, this is only what, six matches in.
Well, the babyfaces won
seven
both matches.
It was seven matches.
Seven matches, but the babyfaces won both matches. People cared about.
Yeah, and the heels won the other five so far, unless you count the opening match, which I really don't. So,
the
YouTube
free
thing,
show,
whatever. Yeah,
the free for all.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't. Where do they go with RVD and Punk and Heyman and Wyatt here? Because I mean.
Wyatt. Oh, Punk and Heyman and Ryback.
Yeah,
and
Ryback.
And Axel, and I don't know. It's
and the best part is probably the beginning when Heyman is sitting there trying to motivate Ryback, and he says, "Get in the ring. He's a bully. He's trying to bully you. Get in the ring," and like motivating him like that. Like that's it's funny.
Yeah, it is.
But
it's funny,
you know,
stuff. Funny.
That man's a
money.
Bully. You got to get in there. You know.
Yeah, I know. I love Ryback.
Punk. I mean, Punk. Another thing is Punk. You know. Like a low mule kick to score the win, like you know, Punk cheated.
To me, this Punk cheated
to win, basically.
Yeah. But because of shenanigans.
Yeah.
And how do you eliminate shenanigans in theory? Hell in a Cell.
Mm.
Right. That's the next pay per view. So if you're gonna do Punk and Ryback, Hell in a Cell,
second year in a row. That's what I was about to say. But totally different dynamic, huh?
And you're gonna do Bryan and Orton, Hell in a Cell. Right.
Yeah.
So, if you have two, maybe if you I don't know if you do a third one or if you have a War Games or what you do, but it I don't think you can do a War Games and not have it be the main event. So
no, you can't.
I think you just do the two, Hell in the Cells, and you know there you go.
Yeah.
So I mean, maybe
Punk,
you have that
Punk
one.
Got,
maybe that
Punk got the win, but he didn't even really to me look like he would. He looked like he wanted to get the win. To one up Heyman, but not like he wanted to get his hands on Heyman enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That was he outsmarted them by cheating.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. That
and,
was
kind of and Heyman's frustrated because his new love of his life, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
His new Paul Heyman guy.
Yeah. So anyways, then the power cuts out.
Yeah, then the power went.
And and thank God it was only gone for a few minutes. We were also lucky because when it came back for a little bit, we didn't have Cole's announcing wasn't working yet, so that was positive.
The thing was, and when we came back, it came back kind of midway through Shawn Michaels and Davey Boy Smith, didn't it?
Again, if you don't get that reference, we're not going to bother.
I am just going to say, In Your House, Beware of Dog, Part 2.
Yes.
That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah. Part 3, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yes, and then we had this main event for the title. Again, just, you know, Randy Orton and Daniel Bryan.
By the way, did you notice who was the referee for this match with absolutely nothing said about it, really? Scott Armstrong?
No. Not in the,
they brought him out, but I'm just saying.
Yeah,
it's
Jack
like,
Doan was the ref for
Jack
the match.
Jack Doan was the ref, but you had the ref bump.
Yes, but then you had the ref bump, but then Brad Maddox, who was in charge because Stephanie and Hunter weren't there.
Yeah,
so
but
it wasn't.
It just doesn't make any sense, does it?
It does. Yes, it does. Because
I didn't think it made any sense.
Hunter and Stephanie are distancing themselves, making Brad Maddox put Scott Armstrong back. See, Hunter and Stephanie aren't putting Brad Maddox or putting Scott Armstrong in. Brad Maddox, the patsy, is the one. He's the middleman. He's the stooge that's putting Scott Armstrong in. So they have plausible deniability.
I gotcha. Yeah. But but
it's stupid.
It's still stupid. Yeah, I mean the guy's gone for a few weeks because he's the referee that conspired with, so he's the guy they would bring out. Like, it just so many. I say he's back. There's no explanation really, except for, like you say, again, it is Brad Maddox. But I guess the announcers are doing their part. But to me, I was just confused by all that. So, yeah. Anyways, but yeah, I mean, A decent TV level match that has the worst finish of all time.
Yeah. It's up there. I mean, the thing is, well, I look at it this way, okay? And just to sort of for people, the most of the people that probably didn't see it, basically they're going back and forth. They're doing, they're going there. Yes, Brian,
they're about 25 now. It's almost a half
Brian,
hour.
Yeah, Orton misses the RKO, Brian misses the kick kind of thing, and then he gets the yes lock on. And then the Big Show's music hit. And the Big Show's the one that pulls the ref out of the ring.
Yeah.
And then Brian questions him, and Show knocks him out.
Yeah.
Show knocks out Daniel Bryan. And then Scott Armstrong comes out, thanks to Brad Maddox. And then he was going to count Orton beating Daniel Bryan, but Big Show pulls out Scott Armstrong and
knocks
punches,
out Orton.
Punches him as well. And then Orton then says, what the fuck? And then Big Show KOs Orton.
Yeah.
And then they play Big Show's music, and the pay-per-view ends.
Yeah, so obviously, I mean, it's... And I've been worried about this for a while, that all this is leading to a triple threat.
Well, that's what I was wondering, if they're going to do all three in the Hell in the Cell.
Yeah, and but that's it. I mean, it's kind of been leading that way for a while because Daniel Bryan's story isn't over, and you can't take the title and put it back on him too quickly. On the other hand, you're building all this shit with Big Show. So let's do this. Let's have a triple threat match with Daniel Bryan against Randy Orton and the guy who he can't get an offensive move on because he's so much bigger than him.
Yeah,
that's how they presented it when they wrestled each other a few weeks ago.
Oh yeah, and he was crying.
Yes, this was so like you really like this happens, and you're like I get a 0.5%. You watched it home, and I watched it my home on this one.
Yeah,
I'm getting a half off, and I'm like I'm pissed off. If you pay full price for this, and you're not doing a podcast or something, you're Like if you're doing this for
things.
Over for entertainment, and you get this finish.
Mo's so pissed off he's breaking things.
Maybe. It was just so, it was anticlimactic. It was confusing. I was very confused. Like I said, I was confused when the Armstrongs brought out by Maddox. That didn't make any sense to me, but you've explained it, so at least I sort of get that. But I just, it's just bad. It's a pretty good match with the worst finish ever.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just... Well, there's no finish.
And if this was on TV, I'd be like, fine, this leads to a pay-per-view. But when I paid for this leading to another pay-per-view, I'm like, fuck you, I'm not paying again.
How did we... I mean, again, how did we book it when the talk was about an Iron Man match, right?
Yeah.
Tie at 3 and do the... Or tie it and leave it tied and have to finish it Hell in the Cell.
And I know needed something for Show, but I don't really see where Show on his last time we saw him was him wanting to knock out Triple H, then Triple H buying his house so that he's not making mortgage. That made no. You work at a fucking bank. How does that work? If I decided I just wanted and your house isn't on the market, could you just walk up and?
Again, Canada's a little bit different than the U.S., but I mean,
like this
the
made
fact
no sense
is
to me.
Well, if Big Show is behind on his mortgage payments because he has no money and the house is going into foreclosure.
But he's been working. He should be caught up now.
Well, but that doesn't, just because you're working doesn't mean that he have money to go to the mortgage. Maybe he had to pay other debts first, right? Maybe he owed people or I don't know, right? I mean, who knows? I'm just saying, if he's not making his mortgage, if he didn't make his mortgage payments and Hunter's aware of it, then Hunter is an intermediary who could go in and say, I will come in and pay your house. And I'm not entirely sure the laws of Florida,
can they do that?
No.
If
you're behind, that's the whole point. If it's not up for sale and you're not making payments, someone gets wind of this and makes a backwater deal. Sure.
First.
Yeah, that's kind of what it. Yeah, exactly. But it would be a repossessed thing. So,
but you can't just come in and do that without
as a
them,
surprise.
Like,
no. Yeah. Yes. Yes. The Big Show would be well aware
well
of this
aware
happening.
That this is happening. Like,
yes.
We're repossessing it now, and it's being sold, to, and somebody else is getting possessed. Like, it's just, yeah. It was so bad and so illogical.
See, the thing,
I guess
the
I'm
thing that
into
pissed,
it again, but
the thing that pissed me off about it is that you had a perfect excuse, a perfect logical reason to bring in Barry Darso.
The Repo Man.
As the Repo Man.
Nice. That would have fucking
And if you want to go young, if you want to go...
Would have popped for that motherfucker.
Yes. If you want to go younger, you could have Dakota do it.
Oh, man. You're right.
Repo Man.
Idiots. I have so many people on the TNA roster. I'm like, is he or isn't he on their roster? Like him and Sanjay Dutt and Madison Rain and all these people. Yeah. Well, fuck. Anyways.
That was one of the best promo things in Austin Aries goes, isn't your dad Russian?
Crusher Khrushchev or whatever his name was.
Yeah, Crusher Khrushchev, yeah.
That's awesome.
But I mean, so now you
yeah,
got...
So yeah. Again, you got this triple threat match. Big Show is, like I say, he's pissed off at Triple H. Triple H buys his house. Then he books him against the Shield and Randy Orton. They use a chair on him. They RKO him. They knock him out. What made him want to come out and knock out? I can understand Randy Orton. What made him want to knock out Daniel Bryan? What was his motivation here?
No, but he was pissed that he did it. He was pissed that he did it.
So? He's already crossed that bridge, though. I know he was pissed that he did it. But he's already crossed the bridge of going, I'm not going to do this anymore, regardless of how you bully me and what you hold over my head.
That's the part that I don't
understand.
That's the part
where it backtracks.
Is because, exactly, he's gonna beat the shit out of Hunter on
him. And if he's pissed that he's hitting him, then why is he hitting Orton, too? Like, it doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah, no, it doesn't.
This is really shit.
It yeah.
It's, 3 out of 10. Yeah. I give this pay-per-view a 3 out of 10.
I go 4. I was going to go 6 because I thought the action, although meaningless for the most part, was decent. You know, where I'd normally give it a 5. But then the Cody Rhodes and even the Punk kind of brought it up a little bit. But then you lose 2 points in the main event.
RVD was
finish.
Probably second best. RVD and
yeah.
Probably second best match.
And you know what? But they said nothing was wrong. I mean, even the Curtis Axel stuff wasn't bad. I said, so I would have made it probably 5 to 6, and then you lose those marks for the main event finish. So it's 4. You know, but I mean, to say 3 or 4, it's whatever.
It's,
that's just semantics
this is
to
so
me.
So
right?
Bad, and nothing. It's nothing stood out as being, hey, you fucking got to see this. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't buy this show, people.
Yeah, don't buy the replay. Don't buy the DVD. Don't. You know,
don't download it. Don't illegally
don't
stream it. Don't watch it at all. Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Just don't waste your time on it. And really, and now it's like, oh, Raw tomorrow. Yay.
Well, that's just it. It's like,
and
in their mind.
I wasn't into this anyways. Like, you know, I mean, I actually have generally enjoyed the television product over the last few weeks. But there's a difference between enjoying the product and making a product that I want to pay to see. And that's what they haven't done.
And now, I mean, you're talking about, you know, those the 2.8s and the 2.7s and the ratings and going back, you know, slipping back, I think, to the biggest non-holiday.
Yeah, NFL's got lots of momentum. And meanwhile, even you know, baseball has a lot of momentum.
Now you've got them baseball playoffs, right? So, I mean, leading to the World Series. So that in itself, you're going to have two major sport competitions on. I think there's 2 games tomorrow, is there not?
I think so.
On Monday.
Actually, no. There's it's tonight. That's a doubleheader. There they have a really late game, like starting right about now.
My funk soul brother.
Yeah, like they have a late Sunday night game in Oakland, but.
Huh. Oh yeah, because it'd be on the. Oh yeah, San Diego and Oakland. It just started. So. Yeah.
It's about halfway through.
Wow, I was gonna say it didn't just start now, I guess, but as I look at the time, it's at halftime probably, but
but still
it's so okay, but the point is they have Monday Night Football and they're gonna have baseball to contend with as well, and not just baseball playoffs, so actual meaningful baseball, not one of their 749,000 regular season games that they all play, fucking retards. But But, yeah, so, I mean, basically what you have now is tomorrow, and they're thinking that they've got the hook of who's the WWE champion. Surprise, it's nobody still. And, again, I think it goes to show me the pattern is here now. Again, we talked about how it hasn't hurt Brian. It hasn't hurt. The second one killed it.
Oh, yeah.
The second, you know,
second Dusty's finish killed it, but it's also a lot of, I mean, yeah, over the last couple of weeks, he started to get a little bit.
I was going to say, he's been stronger since the second one.
Yeah.
Probably better booked, but it's too little too late.
It's too little too late. Exactly.
So here we are.
Basically, you can give me an entertaining television product, but not something that I care if I miss or see, not something that's important. You're just there. The product is just there.
So. Yeah, I mean, it's just there. I mean, reality is that we probably would have been better off if the power had stayed off.
You know what? Yeah, to some degree, I think you're right.
I would have given the pay-per-view 6 out of 10 if the power had stayed off at that point.
So. It was a decent match. It was a decent match, you know, but not better than I've seen them have. And that's the other thing. I've just seen Orton and Bryan interact too much over the last 3 months.
Yeah.
And that's...
Yeah. It is.
Burned them out for me.
It's, you know,
and putting Big Show in there with them doesn't change anything there because it's just Big Show again. It's just a 44-year-old guy I've been watching for almost 20 years. Well, I mean, I guess, well, yeah, 18 years. I like that, because Triple H, that's another thing he mentioned when he's talking about getting his house. It's like, I've known you for 20 years. I'm like, no, you fucking haven't.
Yeah, no, I know. Well, no, but Stephanie's known him since she was...
13.
Since she was a kid.
And she was 16.
Yeah.
Fucking idiots. All right, let's get the hell out of here. Do the promo.
Yeah. The pluggage?
No, let's not do that. Sick freak.
Sorry. I already started, though. We're going to go to WeTalkWrestling.com for all of our professional wrestling needs. Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling. We're at WeTalkWrestling on Twitter. You can get us on iTunes. You can download all the shows, subscribe, you can rate our show, leave us some feedback. We always that helps spread the word to us. You can also share on the show links on Facebook as well, which we really appreciate. I know that some people have done that, and that's helped spread the word, if you will, to follow the buzzards. But and also Stitcher on your mobile device, although they said they have a nice little podcast app for the iTunes here now. So,
I just want to mention, we do know that our site's been extremely slow lately. We don't know why.
Yeah.
But we are looking into it. So, bear with us. We'll try and get that figured out. I don't know what the hell's going on, but, I know somebody who might be able to figure it out, and that's the hope.
Oh, good. Okay. Cause I thought it was Al-Qaeda.
You need to get Cactus Jack in. Or not Cactus Jack, Outback Jack.
Outback Jack, that's right.
In there to take care of that shit.
That's right. Cactus Jack. Outback Jack could hold him down and Cactus Jack could shoot him. Bang, bang.
Bang, bang. All right. Speaking of me and your mom, we're OUT.
It's a good thing you finally got OUT. All right. Well, so that's going to do it for this wonderful week in wrestling. In the meantime and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
Are you going to say anything to go off the show, or are we just going to end it?
Bang, bang!